So this morning we're talking about humility, and as I said, it's a subject that will naturally stretch you, wouldn't you agree? Because everyone in this room are smart enough, mature enough to know what humility is like, what it means for us as Christians. But it's something that we don't talk about a lot, is it? And it's something that so easily creeps up on us, that pride so easily creeps up that we find ourselves kind of doing a double take. Tim Keller says that humility is shy. That as soon as we begin to talk about it, it disappears, doesn't it? Am I being proudful because I'm talking about humility? Hopefully not. But it's interesting, isn't it? So this morning we're going to just dip our toe briefly, in the subject of humility. And I'm following on from Rob in Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 to 11. And if you have a Bible in front of you, you can open it up. But let me start with this. The problem is, it takes great humility to understand humility, and even more to resist the pride that comes when speaking in church or having a discussion about it. What one thing would you remember the most if you ever met a person who is truly humble? What one thing would you remember the most of that person if you met a person who was really humble? What would you remember the most? Obviously, they're humble, but aside from the fact that they're humble, what would the one thing you would take home and go, wow? The thing you would remember from a meeting a person who is truly gospel humble is how much they seem totally interested in you, isn't it? C.S. Lewis. Because the essence of gospel humility is not thinking more of myself or thinking less of myself. It is thinking of myself less. C.S. Lewis also said, humility is not thinking less of yourself. It's thinking of yourself less. Do you want me to say it again? Humility is thinking of yourself less. But let's be honest, and I know a lot of you here this morning, it's not something we naturally do, is it? Even in church, and often especially in church. This morning, when you leave this morning, I want you to think about humility. Because I'm only going to dip my toe in the subject. Not my toe, but symbolic, you know what I mean. My toe is yucky. He wouldn't want to be doing that. This morning, when you leave this morning, I want you to think about the subject of humility in your own life. Think how powerful it is. And think about how does it affect your own life. Let's look this morning at Philippians chapter 2, verse 1 to 11. And if you have a Bible, they're the green books in front of you. Let's read. So it says, therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness or compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit, and one in mind. I'm going to stop there for a minute. I wonder what it means to be like-minded. And I delved into this subject a little bit. But the phrase like-minded appears a number of times in the Bible. Philippians chapter 2, which we just read, then make my joy complete by being like-minded. In Philippians 2, chapter 20, it says, and it refers to Timothy in the Bible, and Paul describes him as this: I have no one else like him, Paul is describing Timothy, who will show genuine concern for your welfare. Imagine Paul talking about you like in that kind of framework. That was Timothy he was referring to. In 2 Corinthians, it says, "Finally, brothers and sisters, rejoice, strive for full restoration, and encourage one another to be like-minded, to live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you." Romans 15:5 says, "May the God who gives you endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind towards that of Jesus Christ." Philippians 4, verse 2, "I plead I'm going to leave because the words in that are too difficult. Three times Paul stresses that followers of Jesus should be of the same mind, meaning not that we all agree with things, not that we're all going to get on, but that we have the same mindset and the same attitude of Jesus. This is really important. And one thing that just stood out for me from the idea of being like-minded, it is not referring to church style. It's not referring to doctrine or theology. It's not even referring to things that aren't as important. It's referring to the mind of Christ. Philippians 2, in the whole chapter, Philippians 2 in the whole chapter says, Jesus is presented to us as a loving, obedient, self-sacrificing, and humble God. This is the mind we are to have as followers of Jesus Christ. The importance of this is that Paul mentions it in every chapter, or at least refers to it in Philippians chapters 1 through to 4. Paul describes the opposite of the mind of Christ. So what is the opposite to the mind of Christ? In which we read already in Philippians 2, verse 3, it says, "Selfish ambition or vain conceit regarding others better than, regarding ourselves better than others, that others better than ourselves, looking not to our own interests and disregarding the interests and needs of others." So that's the opposite to being like-minded. Are you with me? So what does it mean when Paul refers to being like-minded? It means having the same. If I was to put all those verses together in one big verse, it would mean to have the same attitude and the same love and the same genuine concern for others, the same spirit, the same strive to encourage and to see restoration in others. To not think less of yourself, because that's false humility, isn't it? Which is another day's work. But it's to think of yourself less. Like-minded means to have the same attitude and the same love, the same genuine concern for others, and the same strive to encourage others and see restoration in others. To be like-minded means to have the mind of Christ. And when you're in a conversation with someone, if you're in a meeting, regardless of times of what's been said, sometimes we need to look and say, do we all have the same mind of Christ? The guys going to Lesotho probably won't all agree on everything every single day. They may even have the occasional little argument. But they all agree on one thing, and they all have the same thing, or at least strive to have the same thing, and that's the mind of Christ. Are you with me this morning? We read on in Philippians chapter 2, verse 6 to 11. Do you want to go to the next slide, Malachi? Who, referring to Jesus, being in very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. Jesus humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen? You can nearly finish in that note, couldn't you? That Jesus Christ is Lord. Today, in the society we live in today, religion and even the idea of morality all inhabit this, the bigger picture of humility. There are people, there are Christians who will say, I obey, therefore I am accepted by God. But gospel humility says, I am accepted by God through what? Grace. And what Jesus Christ did on the cross. One of my points this morning is, humility is a byproduct of grace. Humility is a byproduct of grace. When we understand and believe and marvel at the grace of God, humility can begin to flow from us. When we listen, meditate on the gospel being preached, we drive it so deeply into our hearts, into our imaginations, into our thinking, that we begin to instinctively live out the gospel. And as a result, humility can begin to flow. But not just any humility, gospel humility, which shows us to think, which drives us to think of others first, not ourselves. Another point, Christ's humility is our salvation. Christ's humility meant our salvation. He, Jesus, as we just read, made himself what? Nothing. Taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. The result was that because of Christ's humility, meant we could have the free gift of salvation. Are you with me? It was the result of Christ's humility that we today have that same gift, and that is the gift of salvation. A lot starts in our lives if we first consider humility. If you're having problems today, if you're struggling with something, if you're having issues with another person, the first step is what? Humility. It's taking a step back and going, okay, God. Or okay, say they're John. Okay, John. Let's talk about it. Humility is the first step we take. Humility is what brought you to Christ, wasn't it? You didn't all come to Christ going, yeah. No, because there was something in us that went, I need God. That we humble ourselves to the extent that we recognize the fact that we need Christ in our lives. And that's not just something you do once. It's something you do on a daily basis, isn't it? That on a daily base, I humble myself. Well, I try to. Realizing the fact that I need Christ more in my life today than I did when I was 9. Are you with me? Christ's humility meant our salvation. The result, God exalted Jesus and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. What did God do as a result of Jesus' humble step? He exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name. I don't know what prayer meeting I haven't been in, and that verse always comes out, doesn't it? Because at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, and every tongue will confess that he is Lord. Lord over my life, Lord over your life, Lord over Ireland, Lord over Lesotho, Lord over everything. Humility I've a strong interest in society in terms of, like, I love reading newspapers. I don't know if you're like that. If I didn't go to church on Sunday morning, I'd probably be in a news agent going through newspapers. But humility, and the reason why is because I like to know what's happening in society. And it's important that we as Christians know what's happening in Ireland. But humility is definitely society's missing ingredient. But it's also missing sometime in our Christian life and indeed the Christian walk. Why? Because it's often considered weakness to be humble. Philippians 2, as we just read, 3 and 4 says, but in humility considers others better than yourself. So what is the definition of humility? Humility is defined as lowliness, as meekness. Interesting, this is Numbers chapter 12, verse 3 refers to Moses as being the meekest man that ever lived on the earth. But his meekness wasn't weakness. If you do a little study into what meek means, especially from a Greek perspective, it's described, meekness is described as a soothing medicine, or it's described as a gentle breeze. It's used by farmers. It was described to describe a broken or trained colt, a horse. That's interesting. It was just probably the geek in me that likes that kind of stuff. What do all these definitions have in common? That they all describe power under control. That meekness, indeed humility, is power under control. Zig Ziglar, gone totally left of center there with Zig Ziglar, used to say about pride that pride is the strangest disease. It makes everyone around them sick, except for the one who has it. Yes? To finish, modern life is full of labels and stereotypes, isn't it? We've got the poor, we've the rich, the middle, the semi-middle, the upper classes. We have this political party, we have the drug addicts, we have this person, we have that person. Each label, each stereotype does one thing. What does it do? It points the finger at the others. At the other. And in the process makes almost it impossible for to listen to each other and value each other. And even more, move forward in life, doesn't it? Because we're always the time pointing the finger back at the other person. Because we all want things often our way. And sometimes we don't realize it. But often we want things our way. Because we'll so quickly just go point and point. Who in your life are the greatest examples of humility? For me, it's always been the people who their faith are people who probably books will never be written about. I have a guy who I suppose has helped me in terms of my career, and his name is David. Not a Christian, but for a while, well, not so much now, but for a long time, I work in the sort of business sales and marketing world. That's my thing, and I have done for the past 10 years. And business people can be very ruthless. And it's a very me, me, me kind of world. And but this one gentleman, and I've met every sort of businessman and woman, both as bad as each other at times. But this man, David, the reason why I always refer to him as a reference on my CV is because he always looked after my interests first, other than himself. And as a result, he gave me the opportunity to teach. And I often talk with Rab down there, is also a teacher, because we have a bit in common in that. But David gave me the chance to teach what I work at and what I do in business. And so he always, for a long time, put my interests first rather than his. And so who in your life are the greatest examples of humility? Who can you think of can say, wow, they put my interests first rather than their own? Jesus, we know, is the greatest example of humility. Why? Because he left heaven, died on a cross for us so that we could have life and life in the full. That's the greatest example. But we can have examples here on earth as well. For me, it starts with thinking of myself less. And as James, in the book of James, I think chapter 4, verse 6, I think, it says, so for me, it starts with thinking of myself less. And as James says, to be quick to listen, slow to speak, and at times slow to become angry. I think that's a good place to start. Because this is a journey. And there's no real practical advice you can give in the subject of humility, because it's something that you understand and it's for you to develop in your own life. So for me, it starts with thinking of myself less. And as James says, be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. If we did that as Christians, in our Christian world, we'd be a more powerful group. We don't all get on at times. But if we have the mind of Christ, and if we're willing to take a step back and listen and not get angry and be humble, then we can all move forward together.